The NAFTA podcast.
Sometimes may be good, sometimes may be shit.
All right, NAFTA podcast, we're back. Special John Whitaker in Ohio edition. We made the trek back yesterday. Happy holidays to everyone listening. I think we got this podcast and then one on Thursday that'll come out before Christmas, and then, you know, it'll be the holiday season. So Dylan had a great idea, a little holiday theming. We'll get into what we're thankful for. We'll do the dudes of the week. We'll recap two forgettable games if you're a City or a Liverpool fan. We'll revel in Nick's big win at the weekend, and talk the rest of the Premier League. First things first, got to bring this up. I saw a lot of other like podcasts do this, or, you know, whatever you want to call Instagram accounts and whatnot. We don't have a big footprint. We don't have a big platform, but I do think all of us here would like to at least send out some good vibes to Tom Lockyer. That was pretty scary. Collapsed. I know you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, but earlier in the season or end of last year when they were trying to get promoted, he had another instance too. Not so,
like, yeah.
So definitely want to make sure that he's safe. He's healthy. Despite whatever happens with Luton, they're a tough team. They're scrappy. And him coming back from that last year to play this year kind of talks about the spirit of that team for sure. And at least the fan base that we've seen in the short season, with people having trouble going to Kenilworth Road for sure. So Tom Lockyer, the NAFTA podcast, you don't know who we are, but we're out there hoping you feel better and giving you some good vibes. Not to kind of belittle that point, because the next point I'm going to say is, if you're listening to this, like, subscribe, share, do all that stuff. Give us 5 stars. You got to throw it in somewhere. Yeah. You got to throw it in somewhere. And you know what? I wanted to make sure we said shout out to Tom first before he did that. But if you're watching this on YouTube, you got the guys in Jersey. Both the Tucker brothers are here, obviously. You got Michael as well. He is in Ohio. I'm in Ohio. I look like I'm a bad representation of Kerry Lake with how this setup makes me look with this light.
You got a little JJ Watt vibes going on right now. You look very JJ Wattish right now
with the hat on. I think the ring light's popping in a weird way in this room, and it's a little darker. So I just feel like a far right congresswoman wannabe from Arizona, but that's just me. You know, it is what it is. Again, on that note, let's get into what we're thankful for.
You're everywhere. You are fucking everywhere right now.
Michael is the only one that can speak to this. I've had 36 hours at my parents' house. I'm ready for social interaction, my guys. I'm ready to talk to someone that's a little closer to my age and interested in some of the same things I am. I've had 3 different conversations about what their best route for cable moving forward is, and last minute gifts for certain people in our family. So I'm pumped to talk about anything.
What is the best route? What cable are the options?
Dude, listen. So we got Bally Sports here, which went bankrupt in Cleveland, right? So my dad, he can't not have the Gardos. He can't not have the Cavs. But if you do YouTube TV, you don't get that. So they're at a rock and a hard place because Time Warner's charging them out the ass right now. So they come to me with any of those questions. Michael, I'm sure you have to field some of them as well. But
no, I know the answer.
What is it?
If it's just sports, you get Fubo TV.
Well, you need to text them that, so I have to stop having this conversation straight up.
It's expensive. It's expensive as fuck, though. It is so pricey.
We'll save the Whitaker family drama for off mic, off video conversations. Guys, like I said, big week of the Premier League. We got a lot to get into. We got to do our dudes of the week. But Dylan, you brought this idea to the table, talking about what we're thankful for. Let's have you lead us off with that. I'm sure you didn't want to, but someone's got to do it. And then we'll go youngest to oldest, brothers wise. So Dylan, Michael, Nick, myself.
I think this holiday season, what I'm most thankful for is the PGMOL's transparency. They write a lot of I'm sorry notes and make me feel a lot better about everything. So I'm really thankful for a really great, you know, referee organization that we have in the Premier League.
The silence is deafening on that one. I'm sure everyone else is in lockstep with you with the thankfulness there. Right, Michael?
Absolutely. You know how much I love refs. Is it my turn?
Yeah, go off.
All right, I probably, you know, what time is it, 6:11? Probably 7 hours ago, I would have given you any number of Premier League players. I can't do that now, 7 hours later. So instead, I'm going to be thankful for the fact that when I give this gun, this Nerf gun, to my girlfriend's nephew, I get to blast him with it first. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Okay. Love that. The Ohio's coming out strong. Like, and yeah. The Ohio's coming out strong with Michael. Side note.
Dude, do you drove, see this, though? Hold on. Look, yeah, it's double barrel. Sick.
Dual barrel action.
We're going to give him a little handgun. And we'll be like, oh my God, you got a Nerf gun. And he's going to be so super pumped because he doesn't know. And then I'm just going to come around the corner and just be like, ba, 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 ba. You know?
Say hello to my little friend.
Would you rather have the Nerf gun, though, or the Super Soaker? Because, like, I'd rather have a Super Soaker.
No, I want the Nerf gun. I have to fill it up. I mean, I have to get the
It sounds like you never had the Bazooka Super Soaker growing up, where you could switch it into five different types of shooting styles.
I know the split here between Tucker's and Whitaker's. I know why there is a Super Soaker side of the house and a Nerf gun side of the house.
These we're amphibious dudes, people.
These dudes grew up on the beach. We did not. We're Nerf guys. You guys are Super Soaker guys.
The Super Soaker in Ohio, you can only use 8 months out of the year.
8 months? Three? What are you talking about?
Warming, brother.
Well, now, yeah. Jesus. We're getting real Libby on here.
Hey, get yourself a cat. You can use it whenever you want.
That's how you train the cat?
I'm serious. Right, they hate water. We have a little squirt bottle. When the cat gets misbehaved, you squirt it with water. Dude, it conditions them. It's gold. Absolute gold.
My dog just goes like this.
Yeah. Nick, what do you got? What are you thankful for?
I'm thankful for us. Let's thankful for us. And our nice little community that we have here, because in what other group of friends can you go on a text rant about something that you're really passionate about and usually get crickets back and not worry about it? So, or they just keep reminding you that you keep sending an Instagram video that's already been sent literally 2 seconds before. So just read the messages first. So guys, I'm thankful for us. I'm thankful for us.
Yeah. We do not judge, I guess, here. Just not in Nick's face. Only when Dylan and I go out for a drink later, I'm like, you can believe what Nick just did. Yeah, Nick took my thankfulness thing. Damn it. So I do think what I'll be thankful for is, this is a cop-out too, but you know what? It's the holiday season. It's nice to be nice to people. I'm thankful for both of our mothers. Just because, if nothing else, if we put out a podcast and I look down, I know I'm going to get 2 views. And I know who they are. So shout out to the pod mom and then Michael and my mother. She did
mom,
say,
Mom, you freaking rock, Mom.
Yeah.
Can we get Mrs. Whitaker a nickname? I feel like it's just got to balance it out. Got to leave it more equitable here. You know,
she has the best paper. Actual name. It's Karen.
Yeah, the pod Karen. Ooh. She's the pod Karen. and in true pod Karen form, Michael, the third conversation I had was, you need to tone down the F-bombs. She's brought it up freaking. Twice. Yeah, I know. You're working on it. Everyone's a work in progress.
I'm not.
Happy holidays from the NAFTA pod to everyone again. Hopefully you got something you're thankful for as well. Let's keep the same order. Let's jump right into Dudes of the Week. Actually, scratch that. Nick, you got the win this week, so you can go first. We'll go Nick, Michael, Dylan, myself, and let's roll into that. 3 rounds, Dudes of the Week, who are you shouting out?
All right, well, sometimes, since we're talking about being thankful, we're going to talk about sometimes it's a thankless job. So Dylan actually is going, I'm a little nervous Dylan might take this one, so I'm going to jump on it first based on what he's wearing. I'm going to go with Kieran McKenna. The dude's got Ipswich two straight promoted in their first full season. Him and Leicester are running away with the top two spots in the championship, and just nice to see Dylan's face when I took his pick.
Love it.
I have seven prepared because I have a feeling people are going to steal a lot of mine today. To be honest,
all good. Michael, who you got?
Listen, it has to be Alisson Becker, the only player that I can look at today and be happy for. So, small wins.
Cool. Dylan?
I'm going to start off with Emi Martinez and Neil Mbappe for bringing the WWE to the Premier League. I've never been more entertained for the last 15 minutes of a game for the shithousery that they were doing and just flopping all over the place and dragging people across the yard. So, yeah, I don't know. If you didn't watch the last 15 minutes of the Villa game, you should go back and watch it because it was hilarious.
Yeah, Dylan was hitting us up, and he was like, someone has to be watching this, right? And unfortunately, none of us were. But I caught the replays afterwards. Emmy's getting mentioned, like, every episode right now.
He should win an Oscar. His acting is unbelievable.
Yeah. All right, I got a couple outside-the-box ones. One, Will Still. I think we talked about him in the summer because he was coaching at Rem. He's, like, the guy that did Football Manager or whatever. Loyalty's a tough thing to keep anymore. Like, everyone gets to jump around, whatever. He turned down the Sunderland job, which you can kind of argue might be on the level or a little bit bigger than Ram, even though they're in the top flight. Turned it down. He's staying in France, staying with the team. So shout out to him. I think that's a big time move. Feel bad for Sunderland though. Yeah, what's up?
That's his second dude of the week mention.
Yeah, well, we got a couple two timers, but feel bad for Sunderland. You know, Sunderland Till I Die was kind of a sick documentary as well. So shout out to Will Still as number one. Number two, this is totally in jest. The FIFA Club World Cup. I got to watch this shit. Like the 19th and if we win the 19th and then the 22nd. No City game this weekend in the Premier League because we're in it. I am as unenthused about watching this as you can possibly be. I do not care. I don't want them to go to Riyadh or Saudi Arabia, wherever the hell this is being held in the Middle East. The only good thing that can come of this is hopefully there's some team building and bonding there, because I don't think our players like each other. And that's the body language doctor coming out right now. So hopefully that happens, but I'm not pumped about this at all. So a kind of reverse, Uno reverse due to the week there.
I'll bring
you
later. Sorry, Dale.
That's cool. You know, it's been a while since you talked over me, so I'm glad we brought that back into the fold here.
Thankful for that.
Yeah. I'm going to go with the U.S. men's national team because Pulisic, according to FotMob, is the best player on AC Milan, and Malik Tillman and Serginho Dest are absolutely carrying PSV to 10 points clear of the league right now and into the round of 16 for the Champions League while just scoring goals all over the place. So sky's the limit. We're winning Copa America. Doesn't matter what happened, you know, like 3 months ago that we were bitching about.
Yeah, Charlie Davies and Dylan Tucker on the same page with the Pulisic call there. Michael?
I got to shout out our guy, John, leading the Cleveland Browns to a victory today over the Chicago Bears. Our guy,
Joe Flacco.
Something about Joe Flacco.
That I just love, Joe Flacco. Shout out to him.
Three picks today, but it doesn't matter. He won us the game, so.
It's ridiculous. Yeah, it beaks up. He's a Delaware guy, too, Michael, so Dylan's in on it with us. Nick, back-to-back, who you got?
gotta go with Sean Dyche. Four dubs on the bounce, putting relegation in the rearview mirror, and you know, if they get the however many points they get back, I mean, they're right on, they're above, they get all 10 back, they're above Chelsea and they're right on United's heels, so back. No, but watch out for there. So
yeah.
What happens when Everton gets all 10 points back and that jumps them ahead of you guys and gets them into Europe and you guys fall back a spot?
I mean, it's the stories Disney's are made of. Disney stories
just,
are made of.
You just broke Nick's brain in real time. He was like, ah, I can't compute that right now.
I was half listening and then all of a sudden I realized he was talking to me. I was like, wait, what did I just miss? Yeah. My third dude of the week is a dual nomination here. It is the old Chinese general Sun Tzu along with Eric Ten Hag. Because clearly he read the book this week and the famous line, know your enemies and know yourself. Because Ten Hag clearly had some situational awareness, squad management, and knew what he needed to get done and what's best for his squad at his time. So Sun Tzu and Eric Ten Hag.
A match made in heaven. I actually think the only reason this happened is we kept talking about how United have zero draws all season. So we should have saw this coming. Michael, I think you're next, then Dylan, then me, right?
Yeah, I'm shouting out Dejan Kulusevski because I guess I'm the only one on this pod that can spell his name, and he got half of my fantasy points this week, so shout out to you, brother.
I'll go Kai Havertz. Don't let the train get rolling. That's all I gotta say.
All right. My last one, you got to shout out Roy Hodgson. I think Nick or Dylan, you might have sent this to me. To be mad at a man just giggling on the sideline in Pep Guardiola's face is impossible. He's just a little cherub. I can't describe it any other way. He's the cutest old man in the world. And as much as that game was awful to not be able to really watch, I was literally listening to it in the car on the ride home, which is not the best way to do it, especially if you're listening the video form of it. Watching the replay back, that was one of the funnier moments, and I have to have enough self-awareness to laugh at it. All right, dudes of the week, done and dusted. Big week in the Prem. We're going to talk City and Crystal Palace. We're going to talk Liverpool and Man United, obviously. First things first, though, the Bournemouth-Luton Town game, like we mentioned before, it was abandoned. 1-1 was the score. I don't really want to get into that one or go into that one. I think we can kind of leave that for when it's finished. Solanke and Adebayo had the goals there. Let's fly through the rest of them. You had Nottingham Forest. They were hosting Tottenham Hotspur. Richarlison is continuing to score in the 45th minute. And then Kulusevski in the 65th. A three-pointer there for Tottenham. Chelsea hosted Sheffield. It looked a little wonky at the beginning. But Cole Palmer in the 54th and Nicholas Jackson in the 61st got the Blues all 3 points. Newcastle Fulham, again, the first half looked like there was no goals happening. Then Miley, Almiron, and Byrne had all 3 goals in the second half for Newcastle, a 3-pointer there. Burnley, they welcome the Deitchers into Turf Moor. Onana in the 19th, Keane in the 25th. Everton keeps the ball rolling. Arsenal, Brighton, again, not a lot of goals in the first half this week, but Jesus got one in the 53rd, and Dylan's due to the week, Kai Havertz in the 87th. Gave the Gunners all 3 points. Brentford Villa. Brentford went up early. Not early, but first. 45th minute by Lewis Potter. Moreno and Watkins got the 2 goals in the 77th and 85th, respectively. However you say that for Aston Villa in the second half. Again, red cards galore this week as well. 2 of them in this match that I'm sure Dylan will give us a breakdown on. And then West Ham, they hosted Wolves. Kudus in the 22nd and 32nd gave the Irons a 2-0 lead. And then Jared Bowen in the second half got the third one, getting the Wolves a bit teethless this week. Boys, where to start? Michael, give me your pick here. What would you chat about with our fly-through games here?
I would say probably Spurs, Nottingham Forest, just because I think Kulusevski had a really good game. He's kind of picking up Madison's position right now. Not literally, but just like the focal point. Richarlison looked good. I just think that they are having a lot of fun. They're a solid team. And then for Nottingham Forest, I think they had a lot of a lot of chances. They could have scored a couple goals. I think Vicario is really good. I do think they might sack Steve Cooper. I don't think they should. I think he's honestly a good coach. I think it's just a little bit of a tough situation, especially when your U.S. men's national team goalie can't play the position.
Yeah. One, it's really hard to get 25 guys new each season and try to get a team out of it, which I feel like Forrest constantly does as we document every offseason. But let me kick it over to the Tuckers and especially Dylan, just because I always joke that you are a U.S. men's national team correspondent here. How we feel about Matt Turner right now?
I think he's on a team that he's seeing a ridiculous amount of shots, and you can't save them all. The second one wasn't great. Not going to lie there. But
that was really big. Twice. Two mistakes on the second one.
But, like, I think there's bigger problems at Forrest, but because he's making these mistakes, it's starting to glare on him. But, like, I don't know. From our standpoint, as long as he's getting playing time, which at this point I think he still is the better option of the two keepers that they have, it's only going to benefit us at that standpoint. And hopefully he gets all his yips out now, and then he's sick in the summer.
I think that the thing I'm worried about is Copa. We're probably going to give up a decent amount of shots. The other thing I've always brought up, and Dylan, I know you don't disagree with this, it's our deepest position. Like, we have three guys behind them that are actually pretty good. Nick, you're an actual keeper. Or were. What are your thoughts?
Like 20 years ago, but thanks.
Yeah.
First thought is Dylan is not sticking to your Zach Steffen comment from a couple weeks ago, you know, so... Yeah, the second goal was pretty atrocious. You just kind of hope that, obviously, I think Dylan's correct that he is facing, you know, obviously a lot more shots than he's used to and things of that nature. But you just got to worry from a U.S. perspective, the psyche of everything. You know, like, is it something that where it's like, is it going to matriculate more where he just is having, obviously, a little bit of an issue with confidence or a crisis of confidence where in a knockout, you know, in a group stage knockout tournament, you don't have time for those things. So, look, if he's just maybe having a little bad run of form and he regains it, it's good, but it's fine. But I can see a new manager coming in if Cooper does get fired. It could be a bad thing for him. And then going into Copa with no real, who do we have between the sticks? And Greg obviously isn't someone that makes big decisions with that stuff. I don't know. Could be kind of scary.
Yeah. I guess it's like it's more of a wait and see at this moment, but Matt Turner has not actually looked that great for a couple of months now, which is a little worrisome. A game we can fly through, Chelsea, the 2-0 win over Sheffield. They got to beat Sheffield. They're a better team than Sheffield. If you want to laugh, though, please go look up the Mudrick shot from the left-hand side that almost ended up as a throw-in on the right-hand side. I don't mean to pile on the guy, but just pure comedy for sure.
Hit the ball.
What about the Broha miss?
Yeah, that was bad too. That was pretty.
He was literally in front of the goal.
Yeah, that's a good point. So you got two comedic things to come out of the Chelsea game, even though they won 2-0. I think Newcastle beating Fulham is not a big shock either. The only storyline here, Michael, you sent it over. We got our guy Silva talking about the refereeing after the game. What were your initial thoughts on that? Comment. I think we're all kind of in agreement.
Yeah, I think he's for sure right. I just don't, you know, there's no way you ever can, it's not a provable thing, right? So yeah. Like you're never ever, there's never gonna be a situation where the refs go like, yeah, we don't, unless like the former ref who came out like this summer and was kind of like, yeah, I didn't tell my colleague something because I didn't want to give him grief. Like it's gonna have to be somebody like now in a couple years be like, yeah, it's really hard to go against like the Newcastle fans or the Liverpool fans or whatever. I think he's 100% right though. I don't think that's why they didn't win this game. I think the Jimenez red is absolutely a red and they got outplayed. So I don't think that's why. I just think it's true.
Nick?
No, I'm just making
Nick
jokes.
Nick was halfway through a joke there.
No, I was just joking. I was just saying, did you see his reaction? Silva's reaction when he landed him. He just goes, and just starts smirking. He's like, "What the fuck? Like, really?"
This is old news for Dylan, though.
Dude, thank God he pulled his leg back, though, because I mean that thing was straight out there.
It's old news for Dylan, though. I think I recall Jimenez having a couple weird reds for Wolves, right?
Yeah, he gets them out of his system every once in a while.
Yeah. Burnley Everton, they keep rolling. Burnley's not very good. Let's go real quick. Nick, Dylan, Michael, how much longer is Kompany at the helm?
I mean, unless they have a long term plan where it's like, hey, look, like we're okay if we go go back up, get the money come down, and like this is a predetermined thought. It's got to be after Christmas. Just get through the fast and thick games and then fresh start.
Yeah, I think it's after Christmas just for that fact. Bringing someone in would just be mean at this point. And like, also, I'm hoping that the separation between the three just keeps happening. So,
true. Yeah, after Christmas. Michael, you in the agreement?
I think he should have been gone already. I think he should be out of there like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Can we take this time, though, to give flowers to Everton? Because I think they deserve it.
For sure. I think so. I think for sure. I think that beginning of this season, Michael will be the first one to tell you, did not think this was a very good team. And lo and behold, I don't even think they're mid-table. I think they're a 10, 9, 8, around there, maybe, however good they play. And Dyche has proven me wrong for sure, because I think I was one of the first people to make fun of him for still being the coach there.
They in that game, it was straight up Everton just attacking, and Burnley had nothing going forward at all. Like, it wasn't even just you're maximizing your chances and you're leaving it at the back. Like, Burnley had no idea how to get through to Everton. Like, Pickford wasn't doing anything.
It's essentially you have the Dyche Burnley at Everton, but he actually has good enough players that can go on the attack. So he solidified the defense, because I think they've had, what, 4 clean sheets in a row at this point?
Yeah.
Like, Pickford leads the league.
Yeah, I'm saying you have full Dyche ball in effect with a team that can actually score goals.
Yeah. A little scary. If Anthony Gordon would have stayed, who knows, honestly.
Less with more. I've been saying it for years.
True. I don't know about
Anthony
that.
Gordon all right. Did pretty well.
Arsenal Brighton, 2-0. A game Arsenal's got to win. I still think Brighton's floundering a little bit. They're not used to the midweeks. We're going to say this all season for as long as they are playing in Europe. Any pushback there? Anything to bring up?
I want to bring something that was texted up in the group.
Okay.
With Michael calling out that basically Arsenal can't score from the run of play. One, Kai Havertz. Two.
It was before that, first
I know.
Of all.
I just want to say. Two, I think the fact that they're figuring out how to win without that right now, eventually it's going to happen. I think the biggest thing, though, for Arsenal that I don't know if we're getting enough credit for is the defense is more solid, and not going to say the cliche, but I'm going to say it, of defense wins championships. Like, they're doing what they need to do to just win games 1-0 or whatever, but they completely dominated that game, in my opinion, today, and still got their goal. Like, even though it was 1-0 until the end when it was 2, like, it was more of a, we're not worried about losing this game at all.
Yeah.
Except for they were when Pascal Gross almost scored a goal to make it 1-1. Probably should have scored a goal.
Okay, that's the same as me. Well, I mean, I know you didn't win, but like, it's the same as like when Garnacho basically got caught at the end in your game. Like, you were dominating that entire game until then too. Like, yeah, there was the one brief
for
moment,
sure,
but they handled it.
I think he just missed it.
That's
so I would argue they
didn't go in.
Okay, my point is that if you're not putting teams away, it doesn't matter who you're playing in the Prem, you're always one. Brighton were not in that game at all. They had one moment where they could have tied the game, and immediately, like, it happened so many times, immediately after that, Kai Havertz scored a goal. So the whole future of that game, the impact of that game, depending on if Pascal Gross can score that goal, you are changing the narrative completely. I agree with you that
The narrative has changed where, sorry to bring you this into this, John, but like, City right now is dominating games and is letting those moments happen.
They're literally not dominating games, though.
I mean, they kind of were for 75 minutes.
The yeah, Palace they one they were. Get out.
Correct, because it goes into my argument of that they let the moment happen where I'm saying Arsenal's taking care of their business.
Okay, again, it's not like somebody did something to Pascal Gross. Pascal Gross just missed the shot. So I'm saying that if Pascal Gross finishes the shot, he's not impeded by any Arsenal players, that it's 1-1. So I would say Brighton didn't take their chance. Arsenal didn't defend particularly well in that instance. My point is that you're always a moment away, and if you can't get 1, 2, 3 goals ahead of teams, you could have a draw at any point in time. The same thing with Crystal Palace and Man City, except I actually do think Man City's defense gave Crystal Palace two opportunities, literally one with a penalty. And I would say, I've been saying for weeks, Arsenal's defense is really good. It doesn't matter. You still have to score goals. You still have to build on a team. Because at any moment, regardless of how good your defense is, you can give up a goal.
Michael Moore in the camp that Brighton lost the draw instead of Arsenal won the game, it sounds like.
Well, they won the game after they went, oh shit, we could have just got 1-1. And then they had, I thought Havertz was off too, but he was like super onside. And then they put it away, which is great. Which I have literally written right here, that's more of what Arsenal need to be doing is the performance today than what they've previously been doing.
To Dylan's point, though, it's comical that we thought the City defense was going to be as good as this Arsenal defense. I think the Arsenal defense is probably the best full package defenders in the league. And this is coming from someone who has clipped themselves over the past 3 weeks saying Arsenal's not going to win the title. So, you know, growth. Brentford Villa. Again, Brentford took the lead. Villa looked, and Michael even said, uh-oh, Aston Villa. They ended up winning the game, though. They came back and won and dominated that second half. Dylan, the only thing I want to see or hear from you is, like, give us just a synopsis, a breakdown of the absolute just Donnybrook that happened at the end of this game. I couldn't think of that word, but I wanted to say Donnybrook.
Essentially, you had away form Villa show up until Ben Mee decided to just plant his cleat into Leon Bailey's leg. And then from there, literally all hell broke loose with the fact that before even like Emmy got a part of it, it was the Ollie Watkins go-ahead goal where, I don't know if you saw the highlights there, but he decided to celebrate in the goal and pointing at the Brentford fans and talking some shit, which then basically led to, like I said, it became the WWE where it was basically a cage match of about like 7 or 8 of the players coming in and just like trying to choke each other out.
Let's also paint the picture here. We all went to Philly. We saw our Aston Villa play. We saw Brentford play. If there was one player that Brentford fans were cheering for as much as their own team, it's Ollie Watkins. And this is stateside Brentford fans, mind you, I guess, like that caveat. But I think he's a pretty beloved person for that team when he played for them. That's shocking to hear.
Yeah. So that lit the fire. And then you had Leon Bailey almost gave it back, because what started everything with Emmy is he thought that Emmy was where someplace was supposed to be, and he almost passed it into the net, and he saved at the end. And then you basically had the most blatant acting ever, even though, like, to be honest, I don't think the contact had to happen, but then 3 seconds after realizing I could maybe draw a card here, Emmy goes down,
which then leads
to all shenanigans. And then one of the best images is leading to probably 10 minutes later when Emmy pushes Neil in the back. Like,
What's his last name?
You say it. I already know I screwed it up. Yeah, Maupe. I just don't want to mess. I don't want to, whatever. Pushes Maupe.
My good friend Neil.
My good friend Neil, to the fact that it was the lightest breeze of wind that could have touched him, and he falls down, which then, if you can find the clip, you can see, you can just see him basically grab him and drag the shirt over his head like you're in high school and really try and pull him up. And everyone just going like, where's your mind at this point? And somehow Emmy only gets the yellow.
Yeah.
Which then led to, I forget who it was.
Boubacar Kamara got the red.
Yeah. So Kamara got the red because he ended up actually choking someone out. It was great.
Love it. The Emmy goes full Fulton Reed, Mighty Ducks on that one, and gets the guy up. All right, Villa, keep it going. We said the next game is the most important game for Villa. I don't think that changes. If they are in this title fight, they're going to find out what it's been about the past couple of years. You got to show up every week. Dylan, we had some laughs talking about the last game. Now we're going to shed some tears. What's going on with Wolves? It's a tough one.
We need to get healthy, I guess.
I think
Neto's coming back. I don't know. You know how it used to be the bet 0-0 in a Wolves game first half and you can make a ton of money? The new one is whoever we're playing, bet them to score first.
Yeah.
Because our defense is trash. And that's the problem is we can actually kind of, well, today we didn't score, but like we still have scoring threats. We need to figure it out in the back right now is the problem. And like, I think all three goals were straight up legit, really good counter goals, which is, I know, what West Ham does, and we did it to ourselves. And eventually we need to solidify the back and then learn how to break down a defense. So there's a lot that has to happen. But you know what? We're 19th. We're in 13th. Or, sorry, 19 points and 13th. I'm not complaining.
Yeah, 10 points.
Good.
10 points clear of the drop. Again, West Ham's 8th, top 10 team. They've been on and off this season, but honestly, going away, getting any type of point there would kind of been a big point for you all. Like we've mentioned before, I don't think you are in any danger of being anything but mid-table this season, to be honest with you. So, love it. All right, those are the fly-through games. Let's get into the two we're going to spend a little bit more time on. First of all, tears for me. Second of all, tears for Michael. City, they host Palace. I come to realize that most years when I'm driving back home to Ohio from Brooklyn, from Manhattan, wherever I'm living at the time, this is the fixture that happens. I was stuck in a snowstorm in the middle of Pennsylvania one year when Andros Townsend just kicked a dagger through our hearts. The next year, I think we were down 2-0 and ended up winning 4-2. There's always some crazy shit that happens in this fixture. Grealish scored in the 24th to give us a lead. Rico Lewis with his first goal in the 54th. The 54th minute, we had a 2-0 lead up to the 75th minute when Mateta scored in the 76th minute. And then Elise, 5 minutes into stoppage time, converted the pen. I think the pen happened around the 92nd minute. It's tough. It's hard for me also to kind of ask myself questions, so I'll hand it off to, hopefully Michael has some thoughts or something prepared to be able to ask me about, but City don't look City. I'll say that first and foremost.
You guys, it's the first time where like you had a lead and it was late in the game and you just don't, I don't know what it is. You just can't keep the ball like how you usually do. And I just, right now, it has to be just like a fluency thing, like with the players or something. But I thought like Alvarez was average. I know Foda got an assist. I thought he was like pretty average. Bernardo Silva, like I talk about him all the time, like how much he does. He can't do like literally everything. Mm-hmm. And it kind of seems like sometimes he's running around because he's trying to get everything done. And then I just think, I know I've been saying that he's a good player, and he is in his position. I don't think Vardiol's a left back.
Yeah.
I think he needs really to not play there anymore because he gets cooked a lot.
Yeah, I think that's really fair. Alvarez was a month ago on a hot streak, and I think it's cooled down a bit, and that's going to happen with strikers. Doku's still out. Haaland's still out. De Bruyne's still out. No excuses, though. Everyone has injuries. I say that all the time. It is really telling, and I know that FOTMOB ratings obviously are not the end-all be-all of how you should judge a game. It is really, really telling that there are only three people in the outfield for Palace that have anything over a 6-4, and it's Elise, it's Mateta, and it's Schlupp, and they're beating us on the sidelines, they're beating us on the wings, which is a place that we normally dominate, and we hold the ball. And then Mateta gets the goal. So I think the defense is a mess. I think that we're really thin, as I've been saying before. And I don't know when this rectifies itself, if it does rectify itself this year. This team feels very eerily to the team that lost it to Liverpool in 4 years ago. So, I don't know. It's just an average team right now.
But you're only 4 points off, and you still suck, so think about that.
We're not.
Are you at least 5 now, whatever it is?
We are, yeah, five points off. Yeah, sorry, Dylan. I didn't mean to say we're not, but only be 1 point off. But yeah, we're 5 points off. Yeah, I know. It's champagne problems at this moment. But I don't know. This team just doesn't feel I don't feel like they like each other. I don't feel like they get along. I don't feel like they care to like each
friends.
Other.
Does someone steal De Bruyne's girlfriend again? Like, what do we?
You better hope not, because that turned him into the best midfielder in all of the world. So I kind of, you know, it looks like a great family.
Sort of troll, sort of half serious, 90% joking here. Can Pep not handle the injuries? Like, Pep doesn't have the best players in the world, and all of a sudden now he's a few, and all of a sudden he can't manage the players that aren't really ready to play yet necessarily, or.
No, I mean, the one complaint I do have about Pep, and I'll do the serious side of the question. Michael, you mentioned this, that at the end of games, we can't hold on to possession and we don't retain the ball. We've never done that at end of games. I think it's a strategy for Pep, honestly. I don't know why, but I can recall earlier this season, didn't we draw Everton because they got a late goal? Dylan. Wolves in the past, that's how you guys beat us, is end of the game where you draw against us. You get one chance because we're just giving you the ball. And I've noticed that Arsenal kind of does the same thing. And I'm wondering if that is like something that he's passed down. Juxtapose that to Villa when they're playing City and the end of the game, they just held on to it. They just had the ball the entire time and we got no chances. I think that's a weird strategy. I don't know if it is a strategy, but that's something I'll complain about. But what am I, you know, three-time Champions League winner, five-time Champions League, or five-time Premier League winner, one-time treble winner. I'm not going to question that coach.
Do you think they're just bored?
I think that there is some complacency is the word I would use. For sure. I think what is Kyle Walker playing for? Like, not in the sense
strippers,
of like...
Strippers in his hotel room, that's what he's playing for.
All right, well, that was a low blow.
It's a fact, it happened.
Okay. You know.
Who cares?
Yeah. Damn. Join us for a stripping podcast this Thursday.
I can't. Do you think we'll get a mic'd up ref VAR for the Ederson foul?
No. All right. So? I totally forgot that happened.
I forgot Michael was pissed about that.
I'm not pissed about it. It's just a red card.
Yeah, okay. I don't think they'll do it because I think that there's been other things that happened this week where they're going to be able to put that out. And I think that, again, I'm driving. We stop at a Panera Bread because that's part of our ritual going home. And I go back. What?
I would take Panera Bread off the list, but that's a little too serious for this comment.
Lemonade's killing people, bro.
Yeah, it is.
Luckily, I'm not a jolted lemonade fan. So we're stopping and I'm looking at some of these highlights and whatnot. I joke, but that was a red card. It just was. It
has to be.
Yeah.
It has to be.
It just was. Like, I don't know how else to describe it. Like, he's the last guy.
It's like when they talk about last player, they're not counting the goalie. And he was literally the last player and he is the goalie. Like, I don't understand how taking out somebody... It must have just been something where they interpreted he was too far to, like, the side to be a legitimate chance, but I think that's ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah. Nick, I knew you were the pushback on that. Any brief thoughts?
I mean, I'm not staking my flag in this hill at all, but
I'm solidly yellow card on this one.
That was just one of the old, like, can't turn off the I enjoy playing devil's advocate when it comes out, you know, but so then I realized, like, well, I might as well just dig in and just go for it now, but
not give up at all.
I mean, like, I guess, you know, obviously the rule's a rule, but I mean, it wasn't an egregious foul. No, was he trying to play the ball legitimately? Yeah, like, yeah. You know, I mean...
I think it's a red more for the situation as opposed to
the spirit of it wasn't anything that was red, but I get it.
Yeah, because he didn't take his boot off and hit him over the fucking head with it. that means it's not a red.
It was no Raul Jimenez.
As I said, I left the flag at the bottom, at the base of the hill. It's not getting stuck anywhere. Yeah.
We don't need to win this one. No. Yeah, City don't look good. And Michael, I know we spoke about this last week. If we're being honest, this is third injury to his leg. When De Bruyne gets back, you can't expect him to be, you know, Superman. And I just don't know what's going to be the spark for this team. So we'll have to see. Wait and see. I'm not going to freak out. Honestly, you gotta go backwards to go forward sometimes. And that's how I'm looking at it. Right?
That's a fourth place mentality right there, buddy.
Yeah, well, I got enough trophies over the past 5 years to not worry about it. You, on the other hand, FA Cup, that's about all you got, right? Liverpool, 0, Man United,
yeah, he has
0.
This game. Yeah.
Here's the big win. Let's talk about next big win here. A 0-0. We don't talk about 0-0s, but when it's the game of the week and it's a NAFTA derby, we got to talk about it, obviously. So let's just get into it this way. There were a good amount of cards in the first half, and then I want to talk about the Delo later because I thought it was crazy what happened. But Michael, since you're the loser, I'll let you go first, and then we can kick it to Nick. And he totally screwed up your run of show last week. So
yeah, he did freak my run of show. all right, so this is kind of like, it was the most frustrating game to watch, and I know I called you right after, shirtless, getting ready to go to the gym because I was so angry. It was the moment, like 2-3-4 minutes. We had a corner at 16 seconds, right? 2 minutes into the game, you could sit there, and I'm pretty sure a number of us said it in the chat. It's inevitable. Like, it's going to happen. A goal is going to come, okay? The problem with that is the only time that's the case is when the players on – you can say that as somebody watching the game, but the players on the field have to do something. They have to try to score. They have to, like, say, I'm going to be the one to score the goal. Not a single person on this team was proactive in trying to be like, I'm the one being selfish. I'm the one that's going to score this goal. I'm the one that's going to put us up 1-0, and then the floodgates are going to open. We had 34 shots total in the game, 8 on target. I think those are generous to us. I think there are so many times during this game that you see Manchester United players on the ground blocking shots, deflected shots, passing out to the outside, crosses going over the goal. The thing that I would love to, like, I not that I would love to look at, but the thing that I think shows more about what this game was, both teams had one big chance and both teams missed their big chance. That's it. That's literally what this game epitomized, is this 0-0. You can sit there and go, we had a 2.69 or 2.54, whatever the fuck it was. Sorry, Mom. God, it's so hard. XG, but I don't think you could sit there and watch that game and, as a Liverpool fan, be happy with the result, or with the performance. Even I thought Diaz was great at moments. I thought Salah, he has a great rating in FOTMOB. I thought he was the most passive he's ever been in a game that I've watched. I thought Nunez was pretty average, but the thing with him that he's offside constantly, which annoys the shit out of me, but he at least wants to score. Like, he is the only guy that was sitting there going, I want to score a goal. I want to try. Defense was fine. Allison was great. Trent was great and average at moments. Szoboszlai was terrible. And the messed up thing is, as bad as this game was for us, I think apart from Onana having a great game, and I know I jinxed that with our midweek conversation, I thought there's nothing on that other side. I thought Garnacho and Antony were absolutely pointless. I thought Hoyland was pointless, and he didn't get service, so it's not really his fault. McTominay is the one guy on that side that was kind of moving into the attacking third the most. Their best player, I thought, was Mainoo, and he got, like, he doesn't have a very good rating, but he's the only guy that I thought was out there putting in work. I don't think this is a Ten Hag masterclass at all. I think this game was ugly on both sides.
Yeah. No, I mean, I would agree with you. I mean, I just kind of the game plan was very, very clear, you know, and actually just because I'm curious, just for, not trying to provoke anything here, but the clear chance that United have, was that the Garnacho or the Højlund one?
No, Højlund.
Yeah, because that toe poke was that toe
shot off.
Trent had that really. That was really sick. That little toe poke, but because there's no way he doesn't bury that. But actually, I shouldn't say that. But anyway,
yeah.
You know, I just the second half was definitely better for United than the first half. I mean, the midfield is still a consistent problem. You know, McTominay I thought was still pretty atrocious, despite the fact that he's our only one that can score goals. We get so stretched in the midfield. I mean, Manu's playing out on the wings sometimes. Amrabat was running around like a chicken with his head cut off, which the first half was a disaster. And I joked in the chat, you know, we always say it when we're coaching, we just yell at the kids, we're like crowded sidelines. You know, they're just playing on one side. And because the game plan had to be, and they executed it a little bit better in the second half, but it was sit in a low block and just counter, absorb and counter. Because you have to give the players credit. They defended their ass off. They really did. They played together. It wasn't pretty, but clearly the game plan was just to just sit back and we're going to try to hit them on the counter and just absorb. But the first half, when you're doing that and then you just keep playing in the same 10x10 space and you refuse to cycle the ball or play some angle, you know, you're looking to counter, you got to play angled balls or look to get rid of the ball quick. There was none of that. I mean, shoot, in the first half, Alisson was basically playing a third center back. You know, like he was so high up the pitch. It was almost like he was playing like an auxiliary sweeper because why wouldn't he? You know, even any time he just launched it long. But United was, the game plan was to just absorb, counter, and maybe we just smash and grab here. You know, because as I said in the Dude's Week, you have to give, and I agree with you, Michael, not a masterclass, nothing whatsoever. Like he didn't do anything special. But the situational awareness that he had that we're nowhere close to Liverpool. We're not even close. So why would we, you know, he had some, I would say maybe had some humility. Let's just absorb some pressure and hey, 1-1, 1-0, 0-0, like that's fine. And let's just take a point and get the heck out of here because we're not as good. We're not there. So I'll give him credit for that. I will.
Can I ask a quick question? Because you're going to know more than me. Any type of tactical reason why Rashford's not playing?
He's awful. He's just playing god-awful. If you go back and if you just watch, like go to YouTube or TikTok or whatever, and you just put on like Rashford attacking highlights of games. I mean, he's just running through people, doing weird, trying to do too much. Or there was one last week? Or last game, he sprinted back to defend on the left wing, put it like a kind of half-hearted like challenge in, and whoever it was kind of spun off him, and the guy's still running in the attack in the wing, and Rashford just stops and just walks while like everyone else is defending. Like his head is somewhere that I have no idea where it is. So he needs to sit. He needs give Garnacho a run of games, you know. And I like that he threw Hannibal in. And some of the younger guys in, you know, in Police Street, you know, in obviously some tense moments. You know, it's maybe he needs to sit. You know, everyone needs to sit. To quote Harry Maguire, you know, if you play for this long, you're going to have, I mean, he said the other week, he's like, you're going to sit at some point.
Yeah, true.
You know, so, but I'll take it, man. Like, I'll take it. Like, it's better than I expected, as Michael said, but the first 16 seconds when that happened, I just go, yeah, here we go. God damn it. Like, here we go.
But that's kind of my thing here is like, you got to remember like the game state in these times where the first half, you guys didn't do anything. And, you know, we were pressing quite a lot and there was no structure when you guys got the ball. Like you got the ball, you booted it, and then we got the ball again. The second half, it's 0-0. We clearly like pressed up more and took more chances, which is good because that shows that we're trying to win the game. And that left a lot of openings where I think you guys, that's where, you know, both big chances came in the second half. That's where you guys were able to capitalize a little bit more. But I just think that how you guys, I don't understand Antony, obviously, like, you know, he's horrible. He was horrible this game. He has no
He had most tackles on the field.
And I think that's probably why those two played, because, you know, Ten Hag can probably sit there. He brought Antony in, and Garnacho's a young kid. He could sit there and go, you're going to have to defend this game. Like, if you're not defending this game, you're not playing. And I don't know if he can tell Rashford that. I don't know if, like, how that situation is. I think he's probably just more comfortable telling those other two. And Antony did defend. Like, I saw him backtrack a lot in this game. But again, I think if we are, you know, 50% more clinical, I think this is an absolute battering. And I just think the amount of times where your defenders are on the ground because you're that. And again, this shows, I'm not saying this is necessarily a bad thing. It shows like an immense amount of heart, desire to try to win the game, not prevent a shot. The amount of times your defenders are on the ground diving in front of shots, it's not, that doesn't show good structure necessarily. So it's not like the defense was like tight and the passes were tough to get through. I think we were sloppy, and I think our finishing was poor. I think you guys just got to the point in the game where, like, you realized you could get something out of it, and you guys just wanted it more than us.
I mean, this is what we used to, when I used to coach basketball, we played teams that are better than us, our head coach.
What have you not coached?
I've coached a lot of stuff. I coached a lot of stuff, but he always used to say, make them play Shrek ball. And he called Shrek ball just ugly ogre. Like I mean, that's what we did today. Like, it's just, it's like, I agree to an extent, but like, again, we know what we are right now, you know, and you know, we're not at a level at all with the top four, and you know, you have to do with what you got. And you know, it's, you're going to put, as you can tell, you brought the Rashford thing up. The quote I think I remembered was, Sir Alex Ferguson, someone's like, well, Ronaldo doesn't track back or something. Said something like that. Like, you know, well, he's not defending. He goes, well, he's the only one that doesn't have to. Look how many goals he scores. You know, like, it's like, you can, but Rashford doesn't do that. So you have to.
And he's not Ronaldo.
No, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, I mean, it's, again, dude, it's a struggle of a season. And it's not ugly.
Right, but that's, it's not pretty. That's, it's my, like, point, though. I don't think you guys made us play poorly.
We made you. I mean,
I don't
you have to give us some credit. It wasn't just, oh, we should have scored.
I don't, actually. Okay, here's the thing.
You had 13 shots off target, 8 shots on target, 34 total.
Uh-huh.
Well, it should have been a battering. Well, guess what? It wasn't. Because you didn't execute. So it's... Because we closed down, because we threw our bodies in front, and once that's in, because once you're in that mentality that, hey, they're going to be up and block everything, it's the same thing when I used to play basketball. I always took a hard foul earlier in the game on a box out. I would go into a kid insanely aggressive, like, and try to hit him, like, if you're coming in the paint, this is what you're getting, you know, and we're there, and that would deter how they would play, or, hey, I have to be quicker, or I have to manipulate the shot somehow. It does play an effect. It does. It's not all about Liverpool. It's a little bit of both.
I'm literally not saying that. Like, you are refusing to understand what I'm saying.
I would just say the same thing.
Over and over. You are literally the circle going back.
Dylan and I are just looking at each other.
It's frustrating. Because I'm trying to literally have an actual conversation about it. And the reality is, like, I don't think you could sit there as a United fan and apart from the result, apart from literally getting a point and saying you got a point at Anfield where you never win, you don't score goals, I don't think you could look at that performance and be like, that we can take that performance and take it to the next game. And things that we did specifically in that performance and translate them to the next game, because you played in such a specific way and a team played so poorly against you that you got a result out of it. You guys are
right. I never said that.
Result.
I never said that.
Dylan,
That is what you are saying.
It's just called a manager knowing the situation. We can't play like that the rest. Again, you have to switch tactics game to game.
Dylan, I'm going to tap you in here. Just as the last point, Diego Dalo, crazy red card. Do we agree with that? It looked pretty cheap.
I'm just going to tell myself he said the meanest thing you could have said.
Yeah,
Michael Oliver, and that's what it was.
Yeah. Can I stoke the flame real quick with this just for fun?
Oh God, yeah, sure.
So I'm saying this with that if he said whatever he said, whatever, Darwin Nunez, and I don't think he should have gotten a red, did the same thing. He kicked the ball a million miles and then gestured toward him a whole thing. In theory, wouldn't that be something similar, that you are committing a, you know, delay a game, this, that, whatever, and then you gesticulate towards a referee in dissent? Wouldn't that in theory be the same thing?
I wish you would have been sent off. The game would have been better.
I mean, that's probably true.
Open up more. 11 would have been way more even.
That's probably true too. I would agree. I would concur with that statement. Yes.
All right. Last points on this that I had. Hoyland with the one chance. The only other keeper, and I have a keeper of my own that's very good, but the only other keeper I think saves that is 2022-23 Jose Sa. That was it.
Not with a shoulder injury, but yeah.
Yeah, true. But got to shout out Jose anytime you can. Nil-nil, shared points, shared frustrations on the pod, as you can hear. Hopefully, if you're listening to this, you're on YouTube, because Dylan and I just kind of stared into space for all of 20 minutes. But it was good. Good banter, guys. All right. Dylan, get us out of here with a joke. And like I said, like, subscribe, share. You'll have one more episode this week where we do our predictions, our gambling, and a preview of Liverpool-Arsenal as well.
I'm doing a little different. I got a holiday joke. And I think this will hit home for both Nick and Michael. So what did one Christmas tree say to the other? Lighten up. Cheers.
The NAFTA Podcast.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.